You are now listening to Talk Loud Radio, sports, nerds, and pop culture.
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to the Armchair Fantasy Show, episode 18. We're here today with Ryan Sirfoss of the Fantasy Football Connect Facebook page, and we're going to be talking free agency. Of course, lots has happened today with the free agents being signed or being at least agreeing to contracts. They're not officially signed yet, but we're going to talk about those and the impact on your dynasty fantasy football team. Of course, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. You can follow the show at Talk Loud Podcast. You can subscribe to us on Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, of course, iTunes and Stitcher. Find us at TalkLoudRadio.com, and we're streaming on the Going for Two app. Ryan, how you doing tonight, man?
Fantastic. Great talk some free agency.
Definitely, man. Definitely. It's been a crazy day. I've been trying to keep track of all these for our podcast, and it seems every hour, every half an hour, something else is getting signed or somebody else is getting moved, or it's kind of crazy today.
It really was. Hey, might have some while we're on here, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Maybe probably some going to break through while we're on here. So before we get into the actual free agencies today, I just want to talk about the big trade that happened a few days ago with the Browns. You know, they were pretty busy there for that day that they got a bunch of trades. They got Tyrod Taylor. They got Jarvis Landry. Those are the ones that are probably fantasy relevant. They also re-signed Josh Gordon, which is a little bit of an underrated thing that they did. But going forward, what do you think of these two signings? Are these two trades for Tyrod Taylor and Jarvis Landry? Do you think that hurt their value, helped their value? You think they're going to be good in the long run?
I kind of like it for the short term. With Todd Haley being there, he always had that short underneath receiver with AB, and I think Landry could possibly step into that role. Obviously not as good, but he could work the middle of the field, slant routes, crosses, stuff like that, and have Gordon over the top if Tyrod Taylor can buy a little bit of time for the deep balls. I think he's a nice bridge quarterback for them, and I still think they're going to take somebody in the top five.
Yeah, I agree. I think to me, it makes sense. Now, granted, it's the Browns and nothing, you know, that thinks you think that makes sense to them. But you figure they got the one and I believe they got the four as well, right? Or they have the five.
Yeah, they're the four.
The four. Yeah. So if they took Barkley at one, they could still get a top three quarterback at that four, you know, that four spot. Actually, probably even a top two because the Colts aren't going to take a quarterback. So you figure if they took Barkley at one, Giants take their quarterback, whoever it may be. The Colts take whoever they're going to take. It won't be a quarterback. They'll get the, you know, one of the top two quarterbacks at four. So to me, that makes more sense than taking a quarterback at one and potentially losing Barkley to either the Giants or the Colts. What do you think about that?
I'm still not sure because I know they're signed. They are still working on an extension for Duke Johnson, and Barkley kind of just destroys his role as a pass catcher there.
Definitely.
But I don't know how you pass up on a talent of his, even though, as we saw today, the running backs have gotten no value in the free agent market.
Yeah, I think we've literally had two signings in running backs. I got a list of receivers that have been signed or moved, but we've got two running backs that are basically that have moved teams. One of them just happened within the last hour or two, but we'll get to that in a little bit. So let's go ahead and talk about the quarterbacks that kind of changed today. It was kind of the big story, of course, coming into the free agency season was Kirk Cousins and where he was going to land. He was sort of the big piece, and when he landed, the other quarterbacks kind of fell into place. So the rumor is, of course, he's going to the Vikings, fully guaranteed contract. I think I heard 3 years, $86 million or $84 million, fully guaranteed, which is kind of a groundbreaking thing to begin with. So looking at the team from a fantasy standpoint, what do you think of Kirk Cousins' value and then the value of the Vikings' skill players?
I definitely think it's an uptick for Kirk Cousins' value from last year. He has a ton of weapons, and he's in a good offense. I mean, they have a different offensive coordinator, which has some questions, but he has Diggs and Thielen to throw to. I'm curious which one of them will actually have a bigger role. I'm leaning towards Diggs just because his go-to in Washington has been Crowder for so long. He's kind of worked with that underneath receiver in the shorter game.
That's right. That's right. And then, of course, they got Dalvin Cook coming back. And Kirk Cousins' stint in Washington, he never really had a running game. So that'll be kind of a change of pace for him. He can hand the ball off and they can get some yards on the ground as well, because I don't think Washington's had a running back since I can't think of his name now.
Clinton Portis.
Clinton Portis. But no, they had what's his name for 2 years with RG3. He's in Dallas now. Name's escaping me right now. It'll come to me eventually. You know, yeah, what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. I don't know why I can't think of his name right now. I'm drawing a blank. But anyways, so you think value up for all the skill players? You got Thielen, you got Diggs. You think Diggs gets a bigger bump though because of the way Kirk Cousins plays?
I do. I think he's more of a hit the progressions and hit the shorter pass kind of guy.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I agree. I think Kirk Cousins definitely gets a value bump for sure. If you own him in a dynasty league, you're happy right now. I think he was a pretty good quarterback even in Washington, but the weapons that they have there don't compare to the Vikings weapons. And then, of course, you got the Vikings defense that can create short fields for Kirk Cousins where he can get some easy scores. Washington never really had that. The only thing I'd be worried about a little bit is because the Vikings do want to run a little bit more. I don't know if Kirk Cousins is going to have those gaudy passing stats when he's, you know, in the fourth quarter trying to come back from a deficit and he's throwing the ball over the field. You know, there might be times where he's just handing the ball off to Dalvin Cook and running the clock out. So there may not be as many gaudy numbers as far as passing yards, but I think his touchdowns and such can probably go up a little bit as well.
Yeah, and Rudolph might have a bigger bump too, being he's tried to have Jordan Reed for the past few years when he's been on the field.
Right, exactly. And when they've been on the field, they've been really good. So yeah, that's a good point. You know, Rudolph down the red zone for sure could be a huge target for Kirk Cousins, who seems to love his tight ends as well. Even Vernon Davis had some value there in Washington for a little bit with Kirk Cousins at quarterback. So yeah, good stuff there. Of course, the guy that's out of Minnesota that, you know, has been replaced by Kirk Cousins is rumored to be going to the Denver Broncos, Case Keenum. You know, it takes the Minnesota Vikings, you know, to one game within making the Super Bowl, and his reward is that he gets the boot. So now he's in Denver. What do you think of the Denver skill positions with Case Keenum there?
I think it's up a little bit, but it's still Case Keenum. Even Mike Zimmer at the Combine said he doesn't know which Case Keenum was going to be there, the one who was there for the years for the Rams or the one who showed up last season. So it could be a mixed bag, and Elway really hasn't had the best luck with QB. So I'm not that confident, but could help a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I think some of those guys over there had some value with some pretty bad quarterbacking already with DT and Sanders out there. I think even with the bad QBs, they had some value in fantasy. I think with Case Keenum, if he can just go on there and be competent, I think they could have some value uptick as well. Of course, the running backs, we don't really know what's going to go on there with C.J. Anderson. Maybe a cap casualty. You know, he may or may not be there. They got a few young guys they may want to bring in. Maybe they draft a running back. So it's kind of a situation there. And then, of course, the defense won't be quite as good either. They've lost some pieces on the defense. So who knows if Case Keenum's going to have that Broncos defense of the past few years. It's going to get him short fields and turnovers. So he may have to do more himself with that offense as well.
Yeah, and do you think they'll still draft quarterback there at six?
I go back and forth on this. I think they probably will. I think Case Keenum's 31, if I'm not mistaken, 32. So he's not a young guy. He's been in the league for quite a while. He's been a lifetime backup for most of it. He had that really big season last year. I think they still draft a quarterback. Thinking down the road, I don't think Case Keenum is a franchise quarterback that you're going to build around. So I think they draft one with the thought process to have him sit behind Case Keenum for a year, potentially have him starting next year. So but they haven't had much luck in drafting quarterbacks so far that, you know, since John Elway's been there. So who knows how that goes?
Yeah, hopefully they can get something changed there.
Definitely. All right. Next up for the quarterbacks, we've got two guys going to the same place, which is kind of weird. We got Sam Bradford going to the Cardinals, as well as Mike Glennon going to the Cardinals as well. Which one starts, or does either one of them start? I mean, these guys are kind of, you know, Bradford has a huge injury. Last I heard, his knee is still degenerative. It's still getting worse. It's not getting better. It's going to be the thing he has to deal with the rest of his career. Mike Glennon didn't really last, you know, very long in Chicago before he was replaced by a rookie. So who do you think the starter is there?
I think that they know about as well as we do. I think they're just going to have an open competition, and we're not going to have any answers till late. I'd say if Bradford's healthy, probably him, but that's the biggest if, because he's had the most success, and he's getting paid an absurd amount of money again.
Yeah. He's made the most money as being an average quarterback, I think, in history. I think this guy, I think he was the last big contract rookie quarterback when he came in. I think he was the last one before they had those rookie contracts. Of course, he got paid there. He got paid everywhere he's been, pretty much. And now he's getting paid, you know, decently to go there again to the Cardinals. And I think I'm with you. I think Bradford, they would want Bradford to be the starter. You know, he's been an accurate quarterback, if not unspectacular. He's sort of just that, he's that Alex Smith type. He's not going to turn the ball over. He's going to keep his ratio is going to be really high, but he's not going to give you those wow plays down the field. But he's the safe guy. Mike Glennon, I think, has more upside if they were looking at him making a, you know, in the long term. But even that, I don't think it's going to be the answer for the Cardinals, I believe. I think they're just trying to look for a bridge quarterback, try to bring in some young guy to sit behind one of these two and hopefully build for the future, because this team is definitely going to be in a rebuild mode this year.
Yeah, it's going to be another high pick for him next year, too, I think.
Yep, I agree. I feel bad for DJ there. You know, he came into that team there pretty good, and now he's going to come back from an injury, and they're going to be terrible. So it'll be all.
Who are the receivers outside of Brown or outside of Fitznell?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's really no one there. I don't even know. I think that they've been rumored that they're going to get a tight end in free agency, but a lot of them have already signed. So who knows if they'll get a tight end either. They got Grisham there, I think, still. So who knows? I think I've heard rumors that they might get Eifert from the Bengals if they let him go, which I think they're going to let him walk. So there's been rumors of them getting Eifert, which he can't stay healthy. So who knows how that even goes?
Yeah, and when's the last time he's played more than like six games?
Exactly. It's kind of funny too, because when I heard it, they talked about how Gresham was the tight end that Eifert replaced in Cincinnati, and if he goes to the Cardinals, he'll be the tight end to replace him there as well. So, kind of interesting. All right, so let's move on to some of the. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, we got a couple more quarterbacks to talk about here. Drew Brees, of course, staying in New Orleans. That's kind of expected. Any bit of a surprise there? Did you expect Drew Brees to go anywhere else?
No, I mean, he's going to retire there. He's the face of their organization. He has as many weapons as quarterback could ask for. There's no reason to leave.
Agreed. And they got a defense now, too. So they're definitely contenders with him there. So good to see him stay there. And then we got the story of the Jets. We didn't know what was going to happen with Kirk Cousins, if he was going to go to the Jets or what they were going to do. But they actually lock up two quarterbacks. They extend Josh McCown, who had a pretty good season last year. Pretty good fantasy season, at least. You know, he had a good rapport with some of those young receivers. And then the Jets also went just about an hour ago, 2 hours ago, they signed Teddy Bridgewater from the Vikings. I'm assuming that McCown's going to start week one. You know, I don't know what Bridgewater has, you know, really with him, you know, with that knee that he basically almost lost his leg. But what do you think of this situation with as far as fantasy goes? Did any of these quarterbacks help or hurt the skill players there in New York?
I mean, there's... Same thing. There's not that many skill players there. I think they're the same as in Arizona, just their placeholders till the next guy steps up. Yeah. Nothing there really excites me.
Agreed. Out of them. What if you're a Robbie Anderson owner? Do you feel confident now that McCown, they had that sort of rapport last year, and you got Quincy Enunwa coming back from injury as well. Do you think McCown can sort of capture the magic in the bottle again and have a good season?
Maybe if he's playing for his job, but they're probably going to take turns being injured during the year and be spot starters for fantasy when you're streaming.
Agreed. That's it for the quarterbacks, unless you had something else that you wanted to mention.
Not really for the QBs. They're just kind of backups going everywhere.
Yep, exactly. I mean, Kirk Cousins was a big one, of course. All right, so let's move to the receivers, which we had a lot of movement here with the receivers. Of course, the big one that was, you know, pretty much early in the day, I think even before I woke up, this one had happened. But Allen Robinson to the Bears, it's kind of unexpected for me. I mean, I heard the rumors that he might go to the Bears, but I thought a guy with his talent, and if he had his choice to go somewhere, he'd go to a more passing-friendly offense. I don't know if in Chicago, in the quote-unquote Windy City, when you got two good running backs in Jordan Howard and Tarik Cohen, I don't know if that would be the spot I would want to go, but it's what he chose. What do you think of his prospects there in Chicago?
I actually really like it. They picked up Nagy as their offensive coordinator, or as their coach, and he's going to open things up on the offense a little bit. And with adding him, Burton, and Gabriel, they have a lot of weapons there now, and it should open things up for A-Rob to be their leading receiver.
I sure hope so, because I'm a dynasty owner of A-Rob, and I've been holding out that he would go to someone like the Packers, or even my Niners would have been better, I think, than the Bears. But you're right, they got some weapons there. If that young quarterback can sort of make that leap in year two, like Carson Wentz and Jared Goff did, they can definitely be a good team. You know, they got, like I said, you mentioned Burton. We'll get to them in a little bit. And also, Gabriel also was another signing there as well. We can go and talk about Gabriel as well. He's been kind of bouncing around a little bit. You think he finally finds a home in Chicago and sort of reaches his potential?
I think he's going to be good for what role they have him in, stretching the field, opening things up for them, making the safeties play back. And I think it's going to help Tariq Cohen a lot in the offense with those two receivers there, and as well as Howard with the running game.
Agreed. I mean, you look at this offense on paper, and it's a pretty good offense. It's just really dependent on that quarterback, second-year quarterback, and if he can put it all together and make this offense go. So it's kind of a exciting time for Chicago in there. I mean, other than Cleveland, I think they've cut it down the most in this market, this free agent market and slash trade market. I think they've done a lot, you know, over the last few days. So yeah, that team definitely improved quite a bit. Another receiver that we have on here that kind of surprised me. I thought he'd re-sign with LA, but Sammy Watkins to the Chiefs. When I first saw this, I'm kind of thinking, isn't Watkins and Tyreek Hill, aren't they kind of the same receiver? Or do you think that they meld well together? What do you think about Watkins in Kansas City?
I kind of love it for the Chiefs, but not as much for Watkins' fantasy value. They said they actually interviewed Andy Reid on The Move this morning. He said that he wants to open the field up for Mahomes like he had at Texas Tech, basically spread the ball, or spread all the receivers out and have him just take shots. And with the two of them and Kelsey, I think Mahomes is going to be the biggest beneficiary, but the number one receiver could be up for grabs every week, and you're just betting on a big game.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're just going for that big play. You know, whoever gets that big 60, 70-yard catch and run for a touchdown is the one that has the fantasy season, so, or the fantasy day. But you're right. I think Watkins and Hill are very similar in receivers. I thought they'd get a bigger guy or a possession receiver for underneath, but I guess they have Kelsey there to kind of fill that role. And they have a good running game, of course, with Kareem Hunt, and they got Spencer Ware coming back as well. So, yeah, Watkins kind of surprised me a little bit. I thought he'd sign back with L.A., but he's now in Kansas City, so... the next guy we got on here is Paul Richardson to the Redskins. He's been the guy in Seattle that's been kind of overshadowed by, you know, the receivers and the tight ends there. They've always been a running team. You know, they, you know, throw the ball all over the field, but they don't really get one receiver involved exclusively. So he was kind of hidden on that team. I think a pretty good receiver. I think coming to Washington could be good for him. What do you think of Richardson?
That may have kind of surprised me a little bit. I didn't see him getting $40 million coming to free agency, for one. But him going there with Alex Smith is being a guy who stretches the field and goes deep. Doesn't really play into Alex Smith's game. I know it's there for a weapon, but he could be more of a distraction than, I think, an actual fantasy asset.
Yeah, you could be right. I mean, because Richardson... You know, it's hard to really peg him down. I actually watched some highlights today to see him in Seattle, and there weren't very many because, like I said, they spread the ball around so much between him and Lockett, and, you know, the tight end Jimmy Graham was still there, and it's just there wasn't a whole lot of highlights for him to really look at. But I know as a Lockett owner last year, he used to piss me off because every time I thought Lockett would have a decent year or a decent game, you know, Richardson would show up and have like a touchdown in 60 yards. So it kind of pissed me off. So I kind of want to see him in Washington just to see how he does, but you're right, with Alex Smith there, I don't know how that's going to fit, but, you know, I think it's an upgrade from what they had, at least at the position, so we'll see how
then you have all the people who've been holding Josh Doxson forever and having hope in him.
Yep, exactly. Hey, speaking of holding, I was talking to a guy on Facebook today that was still holding on to Kevin White, hoping that he'd have a big season finally, and he was kind of upset that A-Rod was there. I was like, Kevin White's done. Just give up on him, man. He's done.
He needs new surroundings.
Yeah, he does. He needs to go somewhere else because, I mean, he can't even get on the field. So,
like CFL.
Yeah, exactly. Arena League. All right, the next two signings we have are just a little bit smaller signings. I don't know how much fantasy value are in these two guys. But the Dolphins signed both Albert Wilson and also Danny Amendola. Anything here that you like as far as fantasy value with these two guys?
Fantasy value, not really. I mean, they probably, Amendola will probably fit the, I guess, step into the Landry role. I don't know. I don't know what the hell they're doing because the two of them are getting paid what Landry got, and two of them don't have as much talent combined as he has.
Agreed.
It made no sense there.
Agreed. I think Dolphins is just kind of reaching for anything at this point because they're losing people left and right. Just that team's going to be in full rebuild mode. I think Tannehill has a bad season. If I was a Tannehill owner, I'd be worried. Hopefully he's not your starter. If you're in a deep league and he's your starter, be worried because I don't know that team's going to be very good this year. The other one I have on here is not really a free agent signing as it is more of someone, you know, becoming a free agent. Big news out of Green Bay today. Jordy Nelson has been released. He's now a free agent to go wherever he wants. Of course, without Aaron Rodgers last year, he was a totally different receiver. I think he was, you know, he was terrible last year. There's no way to say it any other way. But do you think he finds a landing spot? And do you think that he still has some relevance in fantasy?
I think he'll find a landing spot. I was really happy about it. I traded him for a first round pick middle of the season last year. So that made me feel really good that his value kind of plummeted a little bit. But I think if he lands in the right place, he gets some usage. The popular thing everybody's saying now is New England, just because the typical New England receiver stereotype, he could be okay there.
Yep, yep, or exactly.
I think he goes to a contender on a cheap salary.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I see he's toward the end of his career. I could see New England. That makes a lot of sense, actually, because, you know, they get those older guys that just come in and do, you know, a few things here and there. They do them right. They do them, you know, 100%. You know, they kind of replace Amendola with Jordy Nelson would make a lot of sense. At least Nelson can stay healthy for the most part. So that's a good spot for him to land if he does go there.
Yeah, he still has talent.
Definitely, definitely. All right, so then we got Dante Moncrief going to the Jags, basically kind of replacing Allen Robinson. They also signed their receiver from last year, Marquise Lee. What do you think of Dante Moncrief? I mean, we kind of saw a little bit of him being good and relevant when they had Andrew Luck. But since then, he's been injured in and out of the lineup, bad quarterback play. He's kind of fallen off the fantasy radar. Do you think he finds his game in Jacksonville?
I hope. I've been holding on to him for about a year now, just sitting on my bench, burning space. But there's a lot of mouths to feed there. They have Lee, who you mentioned. They have him now. They have Keelan Cole. They have Hearns. They have D.D. Westbrook. And Juan Bortles isn't going to get the ball to all of them. A good quarterback can't do that. And I don't know who the hell is going to be the person to step up there. I kind of just want to stay away from that whole receiving core and say, and basically sell whoever I have.
Agreed, agreed. I think Hearns might be on his way out, too. He might be the next one that we hear about getting signed somewhere. I think Hearns is on his way out, which I think if he goes somewhere, I think his value does go up.
Yeah, he'd be a good possession receiver for a team.
Exactly, exactly. But yeah, I agree. I think that Jacksonville team in general, I think as long as you have Bortles as your quarterback, you can't be trusted as a receiver. I mean, he basically killed Robinson's value when he was there. You know, they had that one big year where Robinson had 14 touchdowns, but, you know, they didn't have any seasons after that that were any good. So I think Moncrief's value decreases a little bit. If he had stayed in Indianapolis and they got Andrew Luck back, maybe his value went up, but I guess we'll see how they work that down there in Jacksonville. All right. Yeah. Then we got two receivers that are kind of under the radar. We've got Ryan Grant to the Ravens and then John Brown, who can't stay on the field to save his life, also going to the Ravens. What do you think of these two signings?
Being a Ravens fan, I'm still trying to take it in and have some sort of hope in the receiving court. I like John Brown. He's on the field. He's talented. He can do a little bit of everything. He's fast. He actually catches the ball, which no one's really doing for the Ravens right now after a season with Perryman and Macklin. And Ryan Grant, from what I've seen, seems to just kind of be a consistent, savvy receiver with good hands. So it could be something, but they still need a number one receiver. Those guys are gonna be role players, but if they don't, they could still have some fantasy value this year just because of process of elimination. There's no one else to catch the ball.
Exactly. Just sheer volume alone can make them fantasy relevant if they can stay healthy on the field. I've seen Ryan Grant a little bit. I know he's not really a household name, but I live here in Washington. I've been to a few of the preseason games. I've watched a couple of their games on TV. He has some talent. I think he can definitely be a good receiver. He just hasn't had a chance to really show it yet because he's been here in Washington playing behind like Pierre Garçon. Of course, D-Jax was here. They signed, you know, all those guys last year that were, you know, ahead of him. So he didn't have a chance to really shine in that receiving core. I think going to the Ravens could be a good thing for him. I think especially if he's that number two receiver to whoever the number one ends up being, I think he can be a decent fantasy receiver and probably a sleeper if you're in a redraft league. I doubt he gets a lot of preseason hype unless he has some really big preseason games. But I think he'll be under the radar for sure.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I just got this in. Deion Lewis just went to the Titans.
Deion Lewis to the Titans. All right, let's go ahead and just talk about that before we get into the running backs. We'll go ahead and just kick off with Deion Lewis.
I just saw that, got excited. I didn't want to get us moved on.
No, that's fine. Deion Lewis to the Titans. What do you think of that move?
I kind of love it. I mean, he's the complete opposite of Henry. I think he'll complement him. He'll be able to have a slot role. He'll be able to be on the field together at the same time with him spreading out. And he'll have more consistent usage than he had in New England.
Exactly. I agree. I'm actually an owner of I can't think of his name. Derrick Henry. Sorry. You just said his name and I just drew a blank. Yeah, I'm actually an owner of Derrick Henry. So I was excited when they cut Murray. And I heard rumors that they're going to sign another running back or draft a running back. So I was kind of like, hope they don't draft one that's exactly like Murray or exactly like Murray and Henry. So Deion Lewis, you're right, complements them. They can both be on the field at the same time. Deion Lewis can line up in the slot. So good stuff there. I think that actually helps Derrick Henry's value a little bit. The Titans got a good offensive line, so that's going to be a good thing. I think as long as Mariota doesn't take another step backwards, if he can move forward this time, I think there'll be a pretty decent offense, and Lewis can have some good value there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be good for Mariota too.
Definitely. A little dump down. You know, he's fast enough, quick enough, he can take it to the house with just a little dump screen or whatever. So, yeah, good stuff there. We'll go ahead and get into these last couple of running backs here, and then we'll talk about the tight ends. So only two running backs really got signed today that I'm aware of. Isaiah Crowell goes to the New York Jets. What do you think of that move there? Do you think it hurts the two guys that were there, Bilal Powell and Elijah McGuire?
That's an ugly backfield. I mean, Crowell's going to bring something different than both of them. He's going to be probably the early down back, first and second down. He doesn't really have any receiving prowess, and that's what the other two's whole game's based off of. So I think it's those two are going to hurt each other more than he's going to hurt them, if that makes sense.
Yep, that does make sense. And I'm kind of upset about this move because, as you know, me and you are both in that dynasty league that we just drafted. And I kind of thought that, okay, they cut Forte. And I was like, okay, let me lock up that backfield. And I actually own both Bilal Powell and Elijah McGuire, thinking, okay, one of these guys is going to end up being the number one. And, of course, that's kind of gone to the wayside now. I now have a number two and number three running back on my bench. So I guess we'll see how it plays out. Hopefully they give McGuire a chance to shine. I think last year he got the ball quite a bit in a couple of games that, you know, they were injured. And I think he looked really good. So I added him in both of my dynasty leagues, so hopefully he gets a chance to shine. Crowell has been sort of up and down as a fantasy back. I think he had a good year 2 years ago. Last year, I think, was outplayed a lot by Duke Johnson, and I think that's why they finally just let him go. I think him in New York may be a good situation, you know, if he can be that sort of thunder to the lightning of Bilal Powell or Elijah McGuire. I think it could be good.
I can't wait to see how his draft hype builds up. Hopefully it doesn't get like last year when he was going to the second round, third round.
Right, exactly, because he was pretty hyped up. One of my writers, I don't know if he's listening right now, but Gerson actually was a big proponent of Isaiah Crowell, wrote a whole article about him, how he's going to be really great this year, and it just never panned out. So luckily I was a Duke Johnson owner, and he actually had some really good games for me, so I was loving it that Crowell wasn't doing so much, and Duke Johnson kind of lit it up. So that's not too bad for me. All right, the other guy we've got on here has been a free agent for a while. He got cut by the Panthers a while back. That's Jonathan Stewart going to the Giants. Do you think Stewart is the answer to the Giants' running back troubles, or do you think they still get a running back in the draft?
They need to draft somebody. Jonathan Stewart's getting old.
Yep.
And every other running back they have is just kind of a guy. I like Gallman a little bit, but he's still a fourth round pick who they're trying to get, find a use for. I think they have to take somebody in such a deep class. It would make sense to, but they do have a lot of needs.
Definitely.
And who knows with them?
Yeah. I think Stewart, I mean, I think the fact that the Panthers cut him in general kind of leads to what I think his value is in fantasy. I don't think it's going to be a very huge fantasy value there in New York, unless for some reason they don't get a draft pick. I don't know why they wouldn't, but if he becomes the number one guy, he has, you know, value just based on volume alone. But I have a feeling that they're going to draft somebody, sort of groom him into the sort of the secondary role, maybe a goal line back. He might steal some touches in the goal line. But yeah, I don't see him being anything relevant there for the Giants.
No.
All right. Then we got two tight ends that have supposedly signed. I know one of them's a little more under the radar than the other one, but we'll talk about Burton to the Bears. He played behind Zach Ertz last year. I think he filled in for him one game, had a pretty big game. He was a good complimentary tight end there. People are excited about him. I drafted him in my dynasty league this year, so I, you know, kind of expect big things from him. He's going to the Bears. What do you think of his prospects there?
I think he'll do all right. I mean, draft Twitter's loving him already, and fantasy football Twitter's going nuts over that move. But I think he's going to get overdrafted a little bit. But he can definitely have some impact. But I don't know what's going to do with Shaheen's value for them.
Yeah, that's right.
Because there's a lot of weapons now.
There is a lot of weapons there. I think you're almost going to have like a two tight end situation unless Shaheen, you know, I don't know his situation with his contract, if he's going to be there this year, if they're going to cut him or if they're going to keep both of them. So who knows how that pans out. But yeah, I like the move. I like the player as well. I think even when, you know, he filled in for Zach Ertz, we saw how good he could be. Pretty athletic guy. I think he can be one of those hybrid tight ends. Probably isn't the best blocker in the world. You know, I don't know anything from tape-wise if he can block, but just looking at his body build, I doubt he's a big blocker. So I think Burton can be a good, you know, middle-of-the-field kind of tight end. So, yeah, I like that move for sure.
Basically.
And
if Shaheen can block, they could be on the field at the same time.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That would be perfect. And then the other one we got is Jimmy Graham. You know, we had heard that the Seattle was going to keep Jimmy Graham, so he signed with the Packers. So Rodgers hasn't had a good tight end here for quite a while. I think they tried it with Martellus Bennett. That didn't really work out. What do you think of Graham in Green Bay?
I think he could do good, but like you said, Aaron Rodgers just maybe not. I don't know if it's not had a good tight end, but he's never really produced tight end. He's only had in his whole career one tight end have a one or tight end one outcome on the season. So Graham could be good, but I'll let people overpay for him on that.
Yeah, I think they will overpay for him because they see the passing offense, and I just don't know if that Packers offense is designed to get the ball to the tight end very much because, like I said, Bennett, you know, he wasn't very good last year. I don't think he even played, you know, other than maybe like a preseason game before he was even not on the field anymore. But yeah, I think you're right. I think Rodgers likes his receivers. They pass the ball a ton, but they just don't get the ball to the tight end very often. I think Jamichael Finley, I believe, was the last tight end that they had that was any good.
Yeah, that's been a while ago.
Yes, it definitely has. That's all I got for the free agents today. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Anything that you kind of see or that you kind of wanted to touch base with?
No, the one other move we didn't mention because it's not that exciting to talk about is the additions to the offensive line for the Bengals and Jags, both for Fournette Mixon's values rushing the ball. Mixon's had no protection all of last season, and they got Cody Glenn from the Bengals. And then the Jags just made Andrew Noel the highest paid guard in the league. I think those are both going to help their rushing attacks a ton.
That's definitely a good point. I didn't even consider that. Looking at the moves with the offensive linemen, let's not talk about them. But yeah, you're right. As far as for the running backs go, I think that definitely helps them. It could even help the quarterbacks to some extent to give them more time to get the ball down the field. But yeah, I agree. That's two big moves. If you're a Mixon or a Fournette owner, I think those offensive linemen can definitely help out those two teams.
Yeah, I have some stock in both. I need them both to be there next year and produce.
Definitely. So are there any free agents that are still out there that you want to talk about that where they might land or who you're still looking at, like who you're hoping the Ravens might get?
I think the Ravens kind of are spent out. I don't know what they're going to even go for now. I'm curious on where Jerick McKinnon goes. I thought the Titans were going to be one of the top landing spots for him.
Yeah, I think that's true, because he's out there as well, and I think he kind of fits the same mold as Deion Lewis. They probably couldn't get McKinnon, and they got Deion Lewis. So, you know, maybe he signs back with the Vikings.
Yeah. Then the one other move is Cameron Brate getting a 6-year extension for all the O.J. Howard owners out there.
I'm one of them, and I'm upset about that. I was hoping to have a breakout season. Now, I got Zach Ertz, so I'm okay, but... You know, I drafted Howard pretty high in my rookie draft, and I wanted to sort of have him pan out, so I have two good tight ends.
Yeah. Is that why you skipped over that one?
Yeah. It kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. The only one, the only other one that I wanted to talk about as far as free agents go, and, you know, it's he hasn't really been talked about much, and these teams are signing quarterbacks left and right, is A.J. McCarron. Do we still think he's a starter somewhere? I mean, everywhere seems to be signing their quarterbacks. Is there any quarterback teams left?
Bills. I've seen that rumor swirl around a little bit, but he's still going to be the same thing as the rest of those guys, just a fill-in. The Bills now have pick 11 and 21, or 11 and 22, so there's a good chance they could trade up to somebody like the Colts or a team like that to get their quarterback and have McCarron fill in the shoes till then, because they're dropping salary and players like it's nobody's business.
That's true. That's probably the last spot for him. I mean, I don't know where else he would even go. I thought he had some pretty good potential there with a few games that he played. I thought he'd be a little bit more highly sought after, but everyone's pretty much signed their guys, and I think that he's going to be stuck going to Buffalo if that's the last place that he gets to go, or you have to sign as a backup somewhere else, hoping that he can replace whoever the incumbent starter is. I'm just looking at the list here of free agents to be still and see if there's anybody else that's interesting. Carlos Hyde, actually, for the 49ers. Do you think he stays with San Francisco, or do you think he moves on to somewhere else, and where do you think he lands?
I've heard nothing about him. That's your team there. What do you think on him?
I don't think we keep him. I think he definitely walks. I think he's too expensive. I think I watched every snap last year of the 49ers games, obviously. And if you didn't look at their number on the jersey, Breida and Hyde looked very similar. I don't see paying, you know, the money that Hyde's going to demand when you got a guy like Breida, you know, already there paying, you know, getting paid a lot less. And then they have Joe Williams that, you know, got hurt last year in the preseason. And honestly, when I watched the first preseason game against the Chiefs, Joe Williams, you know, jumped off the page to me. Like, he was so much faster than Hyde or Breida. He looked explosive. If he comes back to that guy that I saw in that preseason game before he got hurt, I think he can end up being the number one running back there. And I think Hyde becomes expendable. Now, as far as where he lands, I thought a good place for him to land would have been New York Giants. So, you know, they signed Jonathan Stewart. Maybe they go out and get Hyde as well. I'm not really sure that would work that way or not. But where do you think Hyde would be a good fit for?
That was actually my top landing spot as well, the Giants at first. But Tampa could still be an option, too. They haven't really shored up the running back position. All they have is Peyton Barber now.
Yep, that's true.
They could either get Hyde or McKinnon.
That's true. Later. Yeah, I think those are the two big running backs left on the table there, McKinnon and Hyde. I think both of them have a lot of potential if they go somewhere and be at number one. McKinnon may be a complimentary, you know, running back like he was in Minnesota, but hopefully he can get some more usage than he got in Minnesota his first couple years. I think last year he got usage, and we showed trying to show what he can do, but the first few years he was kind of stuck behind the other guys.
I saw a crazy rumor that he has like six teams looking at him as a starter, and I don't know how much of that I actually believe and how much is just his agent leaking stuff.
Right, exactly. I heard actually the Bucks were one of the teams that were interested in him, but yeah, as a number one, though, I think he was a number one there in Minnesota for a while, and he didn't do, you know, that great. I think he's more of the complimentary sort of receiving third down back, whatever they call it now, you know, the scat back, the change of pace back, whatever they want to call it. I think he's more in that mold than he is a number one for sure.
What about the one move I saw? Crabtree getting cut in the rumors he might go to San Fran.
I did not even see that. He got cut? When did he get cut?
Earlier today.
Man, where
or
was
like
I?
They're playing on cutting him or something like that. Kind of snuck in right when everything big was happening.
Yeah, I missed that completely. That would be interesting because Sherman's there. You know how him and Sherman get along, so who knows if he ends up back in San Francisco. That would be very interesting. I'm curious as to why the Raiders are cutting him. Is he getting paid a lot of money this year or something? Because, I mean, he was better than Cooper was last year. Last 2 years, as a matter of fact, he was better than Cooper.
yeah, he's pretty much been reliable as could be.
Agreed, agreed. Yeah, I just got a comment on Facebook from Matt Sandell, who was on the podcast last weekend. He said the six-year deal for Cameron Brate was the most boneheaded move of the offseason so far. So he must be an OJ Howard owner as well.
Oh, God, it made no sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't make any sense to me. I guess maybe because Jameis Winston and him had some kind of rapport, maybe they want to keep him there. I don't know, but makes no sense to me.
Maybe teams just going for that two tight end set, like we've seen work in New England in the past.
Yeah, that's the one place that's ever worked. I don't think there's ever been any other team that's ever made that work except for New England, and I don't know if I trust the Bucs to replicate New England's offense.
I trust nothing their coaching staff or management's been doing.
Exactly, exactly. There is one other one on here that I think is going to re-sign, but we'll just kind of talk about him now, is Austin Seferian Jenkins for the New York Jets. Finally had the season that everyone thought he could have. You know, when he was with the Bucs, he had all kinds of problems off the field. Couldn't stay on the field. Goes to New York, has a pretty good season fantasy-wise and NFL-wise. Do you think he signs back with the New York Jets?
I think he's going to go somewhere. I saw a rumor that it was a possibility he was visiting the Saints, and they still really don't have a good tight end. I think he's still going to get paid somewhere, even though the Jets can afford to pay him. They have more money than anybody left, except for maybe Cleveland.
Definitely. I think my team's got some money left over, but we've never been a big player in the free agent market. I mean, look through our history. I think the last big name splashy move we've ever done was Deion Sanders, and that was like 1995. So we don't make the splashy moves. We got tons of cap space though, so you know, who knows if one of these guys kind of fall through the cracks. We usually sign guys late, so we get those sort of leftovers, and then we just build through the draft. But I don't see us signing Austin Seferian Jenkins. We have a young tight end already, and I think we're just going to kind of stay young and build through the draft.
Yeah, I love Kittle there.
Agreed. I think him and Jimmy G are going to be a good combination to have. If you're a fantasy owner, I think those two can be good going forward. All right. I'm not really seeing any other free agents on here, unless you got something you wanted to talk about before we head out of here.
No, that pretty much covers it. John Finger just said he saw ASJ was interested in Seattle too.
That would make sense in Seattle as well. I think there's places that he can definitely end up. I've heard that he's going to sign with New York, but I guess if you can go to somewhere that can be a semi-contender, I don't know if Seattle's a contender anymore. They're definitely farther along than the Jets are, but I could see that happening for sure.
They don't have anything left other than Russell Wilson.
This is true. Yeah, they have nothing really. I mean, they didn't have much left last year, it seemed like, because he seemed like it was just all Russell Wilson. But yeah, Seattle's sort of going the opposite direction, which is okay with me, because I'm, as a 49ers fan, I'm glad to see them kind of fall down. Now, granted, we got to deal with the LA Rams now, and they've sort of come up, and so it could be us fighting with them this year. Hopefully we're good, knock on wood. We've been bad long enough. I want us to be good again.
Yeah, we're hoping the turnaround year happens for us too soon. So.
Yep, definitely. I think after our Super Bowl, you know, when we played y'all, I think we both kind of gone downhill since then. So maybe it's our time to come back up again.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you again coming on the show. I know it was kind of sort of last minute thrown together. I was trying to get this list put together and just, you know, things didn't happen quite the way I wanted them to. But we finally got it together and I think we had a good show. I think there's going to be a couple more things that are going to happen after this show. And, you know, maybe we'll get you on sometime after the draft and we'll talk about those moves.
Sounds good, man. Looking forward to it.
All right, man. Well, you have a good night and we'll be talking to you.
You too.